Welcome to the Electric Spirit Podcast, where we dive into all things metaphysical and fun. Here's your host, psychic medium, Jamie Lynn.
Hi, welcome to the Electric Spirit Podcast. I'm your host, psychic medium, Jamie Lynn. Today we welcome to the show, Joanne Fawcett. And Joanne dramatically changed her life over the last 20 years. She had 7 marriages, which included divorce, abuse, and death. The 7th husband was a former military intelligence officer, and he was incarcerated for a crime he didn't commit. She was an active member of the Mormon Church for nearly 30 years, and she left it behind to embark on the world and embrace the world of UFOs, elementals, magic, and paranormal. And all of this stuff speaks deeply to her through her soul and inner soul. Through her many struggles, she found her strengths, gifts, and inner power, learning that dreams do come true. Joanne is the author of Midlife Magic, and you can buy her book at dragonhillbooks.net. And welcome to the show, Joanne.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm already crying.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah. It's really touching me today. So thank you.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's kind of emotional. I think the 8th, I don't know when this is going to be released, but we're recording this near the 8th of October of 2023. Right. And there's a magical thing happening that day where there's like universal love. And hopefully people will be nicer that day.
we hope so.
Right. I think it's supposed to last for about for a while. It could be a year.
Yeah. So nice.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Maybe that's why it's coming through.
Exactly. Yeah. This is great. And you wrote a book called Midlife Magic, which I just mentioned.
Yes.
And could you please talk about your book?
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
For years, the prison husband, you know, I used to speak on the UFO circuit about his stories and the stuff he could tell me about. And I would go speak at different conferences. And this woman walked up to me one day and said, well, when's your story coming out? Or when's the next story coming out? I said, well, he'll write something pretty soon. And she goes, no, your story. And she's very psychic. Oh. So it's like, oh, okay. And it's like, well, so I started taking notes. And then, you know, before, like maybe in the year before the pandemic shut us all down, I started really getting serious about it and started taking a writing workshop. And so it's a memoir. Half of it is about the 7 husbands. And at the time, number 7 was in good graces. We've since divorced. It's okay. It's for the best. And, but it's about the 7 husbands and especially the first 6, the abuses and, you know, why I got married and, you know, talks about why I got married so many times and the different experiences I had and the lessons I learned from each one. And then, you know, there's a chapter about what it's like to be a prison wife, you know, how I met this guy and why we got married and then how he introduced me. And I know this is a question later, but it's how I got to know about UFOs. And I already knew about paranormal and I was already tuned into that, but I'd kind of forgotten about it. And so I learned about fairies and magic and witchcraft. And it's like, there's a whole new world out there that I don't even know about. So that's, and the book talks about how I changed my life and left the church and, you know, and finding my gifts and finding my strengths and finding, I can be on a new path, even though I'm now in my 60s, you know.
Right. Exactly. So that's interesting.
That's
like
what the book is about. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you were married 7 times, which that's okay. I used to watch a soap opera called All My Children.
Oh, I did too.
And there was a woman on there named Erica Kane, played by the most fabulous actress, Susan Lucci.
Yes.
And she was married 10 times.
10?
So you shouldn't feel so bad.
Okay, I didn't know that. No, you know, I grew up watching that show with my mom.
Me too. I did too. I used to call in, sick. I'd tell my mom, I have a stomachache so I could stay, you know, home when really something exciting happened. It didn't happen all the time, but, you know, to watch the show because this was before like, you know, VCRs and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, I could record it.
I would, that one in General Hospital, you know, I'd come home from school and my mom would be ironing and we'd watch General Hospital.
Yeah. Actually, General Hospital, there's a guy in there, His name's Jackson. He was a character. I don't know if you still watch it, but he came back and then there was a writer's strike, but he was from All My Children and he went over there. And as a matter of fact, he used to act with my second cousin on All My Children. She was a love interest of his. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. I met him in real life. He was a really nice guy. Yeah. He was cool. Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, those people are cool, the soap opera people. But yeah, getting back to your stuff.
So that's what the book's about. It's kind of, you know, if you want to read about the husbands, you read the first half. And if you want to read about the, it's like, so it all kind of ties together. It made sense. And I wrote it and I edited it and had, you know, I had professional people help me get it put together and finished. And I'm very proud of it.
Oh, that's great.
Title was inspired and my cover was inspired. So when you get the hits, you've got to go with the hits.
Yeah, exactly. So do you talk, because it's called A Midlife Magic. Do you talk about what it's like to go through like your midlife too?
I can't, but it's just that it happened to me. I met number seven in my 40s. And that was the first big transition. It's like not meeting a new husband, but you know, like leaving the church and now I'm into all this other cool stuff, because my whole life was you go to church all day Sunday, you're doing work all week, you know, you're, I mean, it is a whole way of life. And so all of a sudden it's like, well, okay, it's just like, I don't need the church anymore. It was really weird. It's not like I had a trauma with the church and I didn't, you know, there was no, the worst part about the church was the idiots that I married that were Mormon. So it's kind of I wanted to go visit the prison guy. It's like, well, I can't do both. I can't go to church. And all of a sudden, when I started talking about spiritual things and just new topics, like, oh, there's a whole world out there beyond the Mormon church.
I have a question. Sure. And I don't mean this to be like, mean or anything. Is it true you guys, like Mormons, can't drink coffee?
You don't drink coffee. There's no alcohol. There's no smoking.
Oh, interesting.
There's no tea.
So you basically can't have fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up around smoking parents. My parents were Mormons. I grew up around this. I love the smell of coffee, but I don't like the taste. So it's like I never started drinking coffee. There's no sex before marriage. That's why I kept getting married. So,
oh, interesting.
If you want sex, you better get married.
Oh, okay. I got it. So you have been married seven times. Can you talk about what lessons came from those connections, please?
Yeah. And part of it was, don't get married just because there's chemistry. You know, there needs to be chemistry, but don't let that be the major factor, because I got married way too soon, too many times because of the chemistry. And the other thing I've learned is you really need to be able to be on the same page and be able to talk about the hard stuff. But one of my problems besides the chemistry was, don't assume, you know, and if you want a faith-based marriage, don't assume that just because he goes to the same church you do, and he looks good at church and gets along with the church people, that he's going to be the type of spiritual partner you want. It's like, just because you're both Mormons doesn't mean you're on the same page about, okay, well, are we going to pray together? How are we going to raise our family? And some of these are not faith-based questions, but it's like, how are we actually going to do the marriage? How is it going to work? Right. And it's like, you get so caught up in, it's a church guy. Oh, cool. You know, and now it's time to plan the wedding. And so there was not enough emphasis on being on the same page and really knowing what's important. And
exactly.
So, you know, through all those marriages, and especially after this last one, who turned out to be a narcissist at Sakai, but I didn't know that till we'd already been into the relationship over 20 years. It's like, you've got to know yourself and you need to know what you want. You don't need to be their doormat and you don't need to let them treat you like their pet or their property.
Of course. Yeah, I agree with that. Because I have some friends that say, well, my husband won't let me do this. My husband won't let me do that. I'm like, honey, that doesn't fly with me. Don't let people tell me what to do, but I'm a life path five. So I'm very free. You know what I mean?
Oh, good.
But
good.
You know, but yeah, right. I don't think people should be telling anybody what to do. I don't care who they are. Right.
Yeah. And but, you know, it's like, it's interesting in the church. Yeah. They're all for really good family values and things.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be helpmeets, which to me means equal partners.
Yeah.
But then, and I guess the men need, it's like, I don't want to be male bashing because I do like men, but it's like the men are the head of the household, but the ones I married, like, took that to an extreme, you know, it's I'm the man, you do what I say. And it's like, I'm a pretty strong Leo and I'm pretty strong German, British, Irish, you know,
That's funny.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
It's like, but you know, I learned codependency from my mom. So it just kind of fell into place. So, you know, I just kept picking the wrong guys. And then I wanted, my daughter's father died. So I wanted to find a dad for her. You know, we got to be the happy little family. We were much happier when there was no stepfather in the picture. Turns out.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So I almost wonder, and I'm not trying to like speak for you.
You're
it's
fine.
Almost like we have to save ourselves and not let anybody else save us. I hate to say it, or we can't depend on someone to save us because we have to do this ourselves. That's what I feel.
Yeah. And you need to be a whole person yourself.
Right.
And then,
exactly.
And then find the connection with another whole person. You know, now I'm on some dating apps and it's like, you know, it's like, oh, look, that guy admits he's done his work.
That's
like,
good.
You know, it's like you need to do the work, people.
Yeah, exactly. That is true. You definitely do. Oh, why did you so you were a member of the Mormon Church for 30 years.
I was.
Why did you leave? I'm just curious.
Just again, because I met the guy in prison. I didn't, you know, it's like I wanted to visit him over sitting in church for half a day. You know, I didn't need it anymore. It was, like I said, it was the weirdest thing. I just like, oh, okay. And then I learned other things. It's like, okay, well, maybe not everything they're teaching and believing is actually true. So, okay, you know, maybe who they think is God is really an alien or something else, or, you know, it could be other. I just started opening my mind to other possibilities.
Sure.
And it's funny because, you know, I've got some great friends in the UFO community who are active Mormons, but they get the whole UFO stuff too. So
do they tell people they're Mormon or not?
Oh yeah.
No, I mean, do the Mormon people, you know, tell people they believe in UFOs? That's what I meant.
I'm not sure. It's not something, and this is funny. It's not something they teach over the pulpit.
Okay.
But yet the church leaders of all the major world churches know about aliens and usually are helping the military with the alien stuff. So Mormon leaders know all about the aliens, but they're not going to talk about it over the pulpit. So
interesting. Okay. I got it. Okay. Yeah. And is it true? Cause I was watching The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, but I kind of stopped, really busy, but I know one lady left the church. And is it like you have to apply to leave, or it's a process to leave, or
if you want, you can just leave. If you want to have your name removed from the record so that they never talk to you again. Yes. There is a process. You know, you do need to write a letter and stuff. I've never bothered with that.
Okay.
And they don't bother me anymore. So.
I'm just curious how you met somebody that was incarcerated. Were they already incarcerated? And
he was. Yeah.
Why did you meet him? And how did you meet him? Just curious.
Sure.
Yeah.
My roommate at the time that I knew through work, she was married to somebody in prison, and I'd gone with her once to visit him, or a couple of times to visit him. It's like, okay, this isn't so bad. Blah blah blah. You know. Then we were roommates, and I had met somebody else at, you know, one of the prisons he was at. You know, I became friends with somebody there, this younger guy. Uh-huh. And then, you know, she came home from visiting one day and said, oh, I met this really nice guy. He's really smart. He's visiting his mom. You know, he was my age, or close, he's a year older. And I go, oh, smart. That would be a new kind of boyfriend for me. So, you know, I'm willing to meet him. And so we started writing. And then a couple months later, we were able to visit in person, and we courted for 5 years. And then it's like, oh, maybe we should get married. It's like, well, okay. It's like they have more clout in prison if they have a wife, if they need to be, you know, if you need to advocate something for them or contact staff. If you're just a girlfriend, it doesn't matter. But a wife seems to have a little more clout. And we were both in our early 40s. He has a life without parole sentence. So at the time, there was going to be no hope of having private visits. And it's like, well, you know, I've already had my kid. I'm not going to have any more. I don't, you know, I can do without that for now. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's,
wow,
that was a long time to be celibate. Let me tell you.
Right. Exactly. Oh my gosh.
But for the longest time, we got along really well. He was very interesting. I loved the stories about the military stuff. And again, he's really smart and highly educated. And, you know, it just, we just clicked. He's an only child, so he is spoiled brat, but he freely admits that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when COVID hit before COVID hit, I started looking at, well, what do I want in a relationship? Cause I realized I wasn't getting it. And it's like, it's all about him. As long as you're on his page, everything is great. The minute I started speaking up for myself, things started going downhill.
So, oh no, I'm sorry. Yeah, so it sounds like you did everything for him, but then if you needed something, maybe he didn't help you. Is that it?
Or, it was more important for him that I help him with his creative projects. I paid for certain things, but he also had family that was paying for certain things. But he had me move into his family house. I took care of his mom for a couple of years.
Oh, nice.
And then she passed away, you know, and then all of a sudden the money is gone. I mean, you know, his mom, it got spent. It cost a lot of money to put in a retaining wall and have your mom in a nursing home. So, and again, I was working, I have a good occupation, and I started my own, you know, I went from being an employee to, I started my own business doing that. I'm a bookkeeper. And, you know, as things were declining, it's like, well, you started your business in my house and you turned your back on my needs. Excuse me. And I was putting all this money into the house and visiting him every week and paying for certain things. And I put a lot of money into his house. It's like, you wrote your book and you turned your back on my needs, or you spent money on your publishing your book instead of putting it into the house. And your book isn't good timing for me. It's like, okay. And your book puts me in the light of all those losers, and that doesn't look good if I'm going up in front of a parole board. It's like,
wow,
I can't help it. I wrote you, you know, even I just looked at like my introduction last night.
Sure.
It's like I said, I had him on this pedestal, and I said he was this great. I mean, he's great in many respects. And at the time, I wasn't looking at him any differently. As a partner, it turned out he sucked.
Yeah.
He wasn't supportive about other people's projects.
You know? Interesting. Well, of course, because he sounds like he's kind of self-centered. I hate to say that. I don't know him.
Okay. He is self-centered. Yeah. He does admit to being extremely selfish. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about it later, but book number two is all about narcissism.
Okay.
So.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And I just have a question, because you said, if we rewound a little bit, you kind of said, you kind of wrote down, or you're thinking in your head, things that you want in a partner. Is that true?
Yes, I've been working with a therapist for a few years, and I'm working with a mentor, and it's like, and even with the pandemic, you know, my daughter and I was like, well, we need to think, what do we each want in a partner? I mean, I have written it down. I have this whole bucket list that's more than a page long now.
Yeah. And,
you know, so it's very important for me to be able to connect with people who, you know, see me as
definitely as
who I am and accept me for who I am. And that's my main thing, but I wasn't getting that. And it's like, you know, I remember the last time I saw number seven in person, or the last couple times, like I would say, it was like, you know, I'm an amazing person. I'm a really cool person. And he would either roll his eyes, or his eyes would just like glaze over. I would just get this look. It's like, you've been with me 25 years and you can't even admit that I'm an amazing person.
Aw, you are an amazing person. I didn't mean to interrupt. I think we all think that ourselves, like, I'm amazing. Yeah. You know, and then I think, because that I'm not trying to be arrogant, but
when
we think good things about ourselves, we're attracting that.
Yes.
You know, and you know, you are a Leo, so you do attract thing, so he just needs to be aware of that, you know. You can't help it, you're a Leo, you know,
and he was a Cancer, so I don't know if that mattered, but you know,
they're more emotional.
funny because at times he could get emotional, mm-hmm. but he couldn't talk about hard stuff.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Well, they have a shell. They protect themselves.
Yes. Yeah. He was so good for the military, you know, so being a narcissist, he's perfect for the military because, he was a captain in the Navy and he's, you know, a leader and, you know, people looked up to him. But it's like, I would say stuff like, you know, well, you're not always right. Well, and he would just take big offense at that. And it's like, well, you know, maybe you need to listen to other people's opinions or.
Right.
You know, and yeah. No, people have always thought my answers were just fine. And if people don't like it, they can just move on. It's like, okay, I've moved on.
Maybe because you shifted things, your mindset or whatever, you'll attract different people now, maybe.
I do believe that's starting to happen. And it's like,
that's cool.
I don't have time for this and that. You know, I just don't. I want to be around positive people and who don't mind that I'm a witch. Don't mind that I do magic. Don't mind that, you know, I talk to dead people. You
know? But you're a good witch, right?
Like, oh, yes.
I'm from the Wizard of Oz.
I'm definitely Glinda.
Yeah, right?
Definitely Glinda.
Awesome, yeah. No, that's good. And so how did you get into UFOs and aliens? I'm just curious.
Again, you know, we started talking about this and eventually, and it wasn't the first thing. It's like, I had no idea when we met that this is what he did in the military. He and his dad were, you know, both military intelligence, and they both were involved even before they were military. It's like family connections and whatever, and government connections. They just got drawn into this world of dealing with space and UFOs and aliens. And I mean, the stuff is real. And that's what they did for the military. And eventually he started writing reports about stuff he could talk about, because he was always in touch with military people about what he could and couldn't talk about. And I started publishing the reports, and I eventually had a nonprofit. And so I started, you know, typing up the reports when he couldn't type them himself. And I started going to UFO conferences, and I started getting on radios. And so I've learned a lot about, you know, what's out there and what's here and the non-humans that are around us and have come here to have treaty conferences. And it's fascinating to me. It's like,
wow, that's crazy.
I love the whole topic.
What else do you know about UFOs? I mean, they really do exist, because NASA is saying they don't have any evidence.
Finally.
Do you think they're telling the truth?
NASA and the military and the government have plenty of proof.
Okay. You know, I figured they did.
Astronauts, you know, there's quotes by astronauts who have seen beings and seen other beings. And there's cropped photos of moon landings where over yonder there should be a sand dune, but the space, you know, their spaceship was sitting there watching our guys. So it's like cut off. It's pretty funny. So yes, I mean, I've had UFO sightings. I have seen, and I never had them before I met him, but I've had them. You know, I've been in England and I've seen things flying around following me. I've been when he, well, in a good way, because they were keeping an eye on me to protect me. I've been with a group where we were doing a sky watch. Uh-huh. And so some people would be using like military night vision goggles. But I'm looking, there's a shooting star, but it's going really slow. And I'm pretty sure it's not a shooting star. It's probably our friends just flying real close by. Yeah, I mean, really doing a flyby. And it's like, well, I can see that with my naked eye. And I've also, you know, seen, because sometimes when they do the sky watches, they set up a video camera. And so we can see things flying around. So that's really cool. And then one time when the ex and I were having one of the private 2-day visits, and you're in a little apartment, he'd gone out to the patio to, you know, get checked in by, or checked, counted by the guards. Come out here. It's like, okay. And it was a beautiful night. It was our anniversary. He said, look up. And it's like, there's like this huge triangular shaped UFO flying really like maybe 1,000 feet up, or, you know, whatever. I could see it fully, you know. It's like, okay, well, that's a triangle and I can hear the engine and I can see the lights. And it's like, this is the coolest thing ever. Wow. You know, what a great anniversary birthday present. And then it came back around and did it twice just to make sure I saw it. And it's like, okay, well, I can't deny that. There was another time when I was driving from where I lived in Northern California, like closer to Sacramento, where he was at the time. So I was driving on the 2-lane highway and it's, you know, early morning, dark. And all of a sudden there's this like bright light way up above me in front of the car. It's like, okay. And then it would go dark and then it would go bright again. It's like, oh, you're cloaking yourself and you're saying hi to me, because it was a spacecraft of an alien, you know, his alien friends. And it's like, they're saying hi. It's like, oh, this is so cool. You know, I got my own alien friends. So I've been places where I, you know, they've shown up where I've been because they used to keep an eye on me. So.
Wow. That's cool. I mean, are they basically, from what I've heard, they're basically good, right?
There's a huge mix. I mean, there are hundreds of species, and no, they're not all good. The ones I like to talk about the most and want to connect with are obviously good, and they have missions, and they, you know, they have do cool things, and you know, like there's one, if you've ever seen the movie Jurassic World.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. The velociraptors, there's an alien species that is just like that. And, yeah, I think they had a hand in making the movie, actually. But so they're real. I mean, so they look like dinosaurs because that's what they started out as. But they've been working with our military since 1952.
Doesn't surprise me.
No, but there's also some species that are really nasty and, you know, want to take over us or take over the planet and, you know, have wars in space. And if you look at, you know, certain governments, you know, it's like certain governments that are definitely involved with terrorism, or there's huge terrorist activity happening in that country at a particular time, there's often negative aliens working with those governments.
Oh, I see. Have you ever seen, you have seen a UFO. Have you actually seen an alien?
I have not.
Or an ET, I should say.
I have not, but I would love to. Mm-hmm. There are treaties in place, so there's not supposed to be any in-person communication between civilians, which I am, obviously, and aliens. Now, a lot of people I know talk to them, like, when they're in meditation, or, you know, talk to them. And sometimes, you know, other people do, you know, I have a spirit guide who is a breathing, living alien. She's one of these raptors, and I've never seen her. I've heard her voice. I have felt her like behind me when I'm giving a talk. You know, she's just a cool old sorceress raptor that loves to knit and drink. So, you know.
Oh, wow. How cool. I like that.
I do too. And it's like, you know, I'd love to meet her. She's amazing.
So. And you say they kind of look like the raptors or whatever. Are they really big or are they tiny or don't you know?
I know a lot about them because he's very close to them.
I figured.
They can be small, but, and so like they're built for running. So they're maybe like 3 feet or four, like at their hips, and they have a really long tail and a big chest, you know, and a head. So if they stand upright, they could be 7 to 9 feet tall, and they can stand upright. But they're built for running, attacking, or, you know, hunting food and whatever, but they, you know, can be very tall. They have very sharp claws. They also have very strong family values, and they love education. They also like bling, and they like, some of them who have come here like human food and things like that. They're very cool. And yes, they do look like that. And they're very proud to look like dinosaurs. Some of them beautiful coloring, and it's like, I want to meet them so bad.
Yeah. Do you think they could ever help us, or like,
they do
we
help
trouble?
Us. I mean, they still, because they originated on this planet, this is their mother world. And even though they have a huge empire out in space, now I'm going to get teary-eyed.
Oh no. I might move over the sun. I don't know. I feel like a vampire.
I feel very close to them, and I have great respect for them.
Oh God,
they're not happy with the way we've treated this planet, because, you know, they're very environmentally conscious, and if they think we're about to destroy the planet, they would probably, you know, gas us all or get, but, you know, they do help us, especially when there's a negative alien, you know, trying to do things. So like often, like when I said, maybe certain countries are having a lot of terrorism or we're in conflict or with war. Them and we're going in to help them.
Yeah.
There's often this species helping. So, you know,
The negative species you're saying.
Well, the raptor species has helped us for a long time. So they will help fight alongside our military.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. What about the ones that aren't real good? Can they turn into humans and look like a human and maybe inside be something else?
Did you ever see the TV show V?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a perfect example because the distant cousins of the raptors that are good are called reptoids, and they used to look like some kind of velociraptor or something similar. And after an asteroid hit the planet millions of years ago, those that were, you know, left and on different bases, they've evolved into more of a human looking being, but they still only have like three toes and they don't have a tail, and they can look very humanoid. And there are, so like in V, where, you know, every now and then, I mean, she looked like this beautiful woman.
Oh yeah.
But you know, when she wanted to, you could see her reptilian face underneath. And so, and there are species who can cloak themselves, well, who can cloak themselves, but they can also take on a human look, you know, like, I don't know if it's whole, you know, I don't know how they do it exactly, but they can take on a look. And it's not, I don't think they turn into a full human, but I don't, you know, I'm not an expert on this, but it's really hard to change, you know, structure and atomic structure. I've known a walk-in person here who's this lovely, no, she's not one of the psychics I knew, but I knew her through the UFO stuff. Just a delightful young woman. And she freely admits that she's a friendly reptilian from space. That's, you know, her birth family, but she chose to come in and walk in and live in a human family. But, you know, she admitted that, you know, every now and then when she's sleeping, she'll turn into her reptilian self, just not do anything bad, but so some people have that ability, but not all aliens can shift, shapeshifters. Some of them are, some of them aren't. It's not easy to do.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Huh. I wonder where they hide it from us.
Well, because a lot of them are scary looking.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe they don't want them to help us.
But you know, I love the Men in Black movies, and I love them more now that I know about alien stuff, because there are places on the planet that are like those UN type buildings for aliens and humans to be walking and working. So it's like
interesting.
Yeah,
I believe that.
There's way more truth to this topic than most people want to realize.
Oh yeah, definitely. I almost wonder if the pyramids were made by aliens or they helped the Egyptians with the pyramids.
I do believe so. You know, again, more that I've immersed myself into this, and I have this great t-shirt, and I don't remember which conference I bought it at, but it is a t-shirt of, you know, spacecraft up here helping the Egyptians, you know, they're lowering the tops, and it's really cool. It shows very clearly that the aliens had something to do with building the pyramids.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. And you are interested in the paranormal. Have you had any paranormal experiences?
I have. When I was married to husband number three, he was a funeral director.
Oh, interesting.
And sometimes I would just sing at his funerals, and one time we had to he had to transport a body from Southern California to Northern California for a graveside service. So I went with him, and I'm standing there while he's doing his little service. And there were just like a couple of family members, because the lady was old and her family members were old. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, she's there. I can't see them like I see you.
Yeah.
But I can feel the energy. I know they're there. And sometimes, depending on where I'm at, I can see their shadows. And when I used to have a newspaper, I would take my non-digital 35 millimeter camera and take photos, especially in black and white, and you can capture the spirit's energy. So that's, I used to get some good photos. Another time with the same husband, we had moved to Ohio and his sister's mother-in-law passed away. And I'd only met her a couple times because we didn't live there very long. But I was singing at her funeral. And so I'm standing like, you know, up where the pulpit is and all that area. And I could tell that her spirit was like hanging out at the back of the church, like up high.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, and that's, you know, it's like as a Mormon, I grew, you know, knowing that, you know, the spirit world is just right there. And usually the spirits of somebody that just passed hang about for a few days, especially if they're going to move on. But not all spirits move on. But I've had experiences on an aircraft carrier that's now a museum, in the old governor's mansion in Sacramento, and in lots of places in England. So it's like, it is so cool to like walk into a room and go, oh, somebody's here. Oh, it's like, oh, that looks like a little shimmering thing over by that window. And I don't think it's the sunlight. And I was on the aircraft carrier, the USS Hornet, which is famous for having a lot of ghosts on it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, there's somebody peeking behind that box. It's okay. You can come talk to us. And it's like, it's like, oh, there's this shadow peeking out from this like column. It's like, huh? You know, I'm just saying hi and I'll talk to him and stuff. And, you know, I've usually, especially when I'm with a psychic, it's like, oh, you know, it's like, cause they can see them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially when I've been on the Hornet, my father-in-law who passed 6 months before I even met husband number seven, he's there. Okay. I'll go on the flight deck of that ship. And the two psychics that I was with different times, it's like, oh, he's standing right there. I go, I know, I can feel him. And you know, he and I have become great friends. Because again, I talk to dead people, but I talk to them through like a channeling medium because I haven't been able to do that just by myself yet. But he's often with me when I give talks or when I used to give talks, especially when I was in England, he would be over on right behind my left. So I always knew that was him. And then one time I was at in somebody's house giving a talk and he's like over here. And my psychic friend is going, you know, he's there. I go, yeah, I know. But we've had great talks. So it's really cool. And I love connecting with the spirits and, you know, seeing what they have to say. And sometimes, you know, I've been in areas where, oh, it feels a little dark here and we need to load. We need to go. It's like, they don't want us here and we need to go.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting to feel the spirit energy, like in a lovely manor house or an old castle.
Right.
And then go to one that was like a military fort. It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
And be down where the dungeon was or where the fighting happened. You know, it's like, okay, not so nice here. So let's leave this room.
Yeah. It's interesting how the feeling of it. It's different. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's like one of my favorite times. I was in England visiting my friend. She's very psychic and she's a trance medium. We were in Dover Castle and about to go into the throne room. And we're standing looking, you know, just like tourists. We're looking at this room, like where I believe like maybe the sentries or the guards would have hung out, you know, while the king didn't need them at the moment. And I'm standing in the doorway taking pictures and she's over by this window. And all of a sudden this blue ghosty spirit being just shoots past her and right through me. And it's like, whoa.
Wow. Like,
that was so amazing. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting, all this stuff. I was actually giving a reading to a client I have in a different country. She's in Dubai. And, you know, it's such a different, you know, time zone than California because, you know, you have to kind of adjust things. But I was giving a reading and I was in my office at home and I had a family member come out. And they're like, well, what were you doing after I finished the reading? I was giving a reading and they're like, I kind of figured that they said the lights were making all sorts of flickers and they were, the spirits were here. They're like, yeah, they were here. And I just wonder maybe what you were doing. Cause there's activity. Things here that are around you helping or whatever. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? It's like, wow. Well,
you know, one of the times when I was visiting my friend in England, we're just sitting there chatting in her living room And she's just going, oh, okay, some people want to come talk to you. So like they were lined up in her kitchen doorway to talk to me. So, you know, my mom and my dad, well, my dad was there, but I don't know if he said anything, but my mom and other, you know, were just lining up to talk to me. And it was interesting because I remember that particular time because, and this was before I was using the channeling medium myself over in California and, you know, having conversations with my mom. But it's like, she's going, you know, you need to take care of your legs. There's something with your legs. And, you know, a few years later, it's like, okay, yes, I have diabetes and I'm having like adrenal issues and it was causing inflammation in my legs. And it's like, God, my mom knew years before I even knew. Even wow. It had... And then all of a sudden my friend's going, okay, well now I have to just like stop them because there's this huge line of people that want to come talk to you.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. But it was like a family reunion. Excuse me. Yeah.
And I don't even think all of them were my family members, but they may have been, but you know, I've been in meditation where the person guiding the meditation, you know, will like bring in people you know, like maybe who you want to talk to. And it's like, okay, I've got great grandmothers here. And then I would work with the channeling medium. And I met one of my great grandmothers from Germany, who was, you know, a practicing witch back in the 1800s, or I think that's when, it was a long time ago, but you know, she couldn't talk about it. And, you know, the whole community is like Lutheran or whatever you are in Germany. But, you know, it's like you have to keep that because quiet. So it's really interesting to learn that I have those roots and I didn't even know. You know, I just thought, oh, I just picked this up. I liked this myself.
Right.
But it's not that case. But I've been in group sessions with the channeling medium. And it's like, I like to sit right near the person because I can feel the energy of whoever's coming through. Because sometimes we just call in really cool teachers, you know. Yeah. And I just love that energy is so strong. And yeah. Even, you know, they've brought in a couple of alien beings who may or may not have been dead. I don't know. But it's like, oh, you're a species that my ex has talked about. Oh, yeah. Mm. And the energy is so strong. I love that connection. And yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It's neat that you have all these experiences and that that you kind of march to the beat of your own drum to be able to have them,
yeah,
instead of staying in repressed situations.
Yeah, and I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at like, because now it's like, you know, I don't care. You know, I even put on one of these dating apps that I'm trying out. It's like, I even put on there. It's like, I'm a practicing witch. You know, take it or leave it.
Right. At least you're honest.
It's like, that's all I can be at this stage of my life.
Right. And you work for the greater good, right? Because everybody hears the word witch and they're like, oh my gosh, are you going to cast a spell on me?
No, but yeah. I was teasing this one guy and because he said, well, do you want to meet? And I said, well, oh, you know, yeah, eventually. But it's like, and if you turn out to be a creep, I'll turn you into a toad. And thankfully, he's got a really good sense of humor. So it's like he didn't care. But it's like I have to be who I am. You know, I'm too old to not be at this point. And
right, of course. And I have to be who I am too. Some people might not like this podcast or they say I talk too much, which I don't feel like I do. But you know what? You just have to be who you are. I mean, they got to realize I'm doing readings all day. I don't have any coworkers. So when I do these interviews, it's like, you guys are like people, like people I'm connecting with because
I'm
working solo,
this.
Honey.
Well, and it's like, and I'm a bookkeeper.
Give me a break.
I know. Yeah. I'm a bookkeeper. And so I work all day long, all by myself in my apartment with the cats.
Right.
And it's like, and my daughter, it's like, she supports me in all my woo. And, but she's like, mom, you're doing all these podcasts. And I go, yeah, I love it. And she goes, but you're not getting paid. I go, no, but that's not the point. You know, it's like, I'm getting out there to share things that are important to me or things that I really am passionate about. And especially now, just, you know, with the new book I'm working on and just, I'm not talking so much about, okay, here's what the ex did and here's the mission. It's like, I'm not his spokesperson anymore.
Right.
I'm talking about my experiences and my take on things and just and how it just kind of is all interwoven into my life and my belief system now. So it's like, and I love having these conversations.
Me too. Well, the other thing is that a lot of the media, mainstream media, is controlled. So these podcasts, we can talk about this stuff.
I know.
A lot of people, if you turn on the news, they're not going to be talking about psychics and aliens and ghosts and, you know what I mean? Like, this is where we can get it. So I'm glad, even though we're all not getting paid for this, at least we're having some great experiences, you know, and we're like getting the word out there. You
exactly.
know?
And that's what I felt. I did love going to the different UFO conferences and speaking on what I did, because again, it's this grassroots effort to get the information out there.
Right.
And what I was going to say is not just to, at the end of this month, this is October, right? The end of October, I'm speaking at a Mystical Minds convention in Northern California. And I'm doing, it's like, it came to me. It's like, I want people to know about aliens because many of them are very spiritual. And like the raptors, for example, because I talk about them a lot, they are very spiritual. They're just, yeah, they're very spiritual, but they also have sorceresses. You know, they believe in magic. Then you bring into, and I know we're going to talk about the elementals, but you bring into the elemental fairy realm, you know, thing, and this, the magic's like, it's all connected. And whether you live on Earth or not, or you're human or not, we're all connected. And the universe, you know, we're just all connected no matter what we look like or believe in. And the universe is this abundant place that can handle it all. And we're all unique and special. And the witches, especially the British Celtic witches, got a lot of their ancient wisdom from maybe not humans. And it's all about connecting with the earth for me. And I was talking with my channeling through my channeling medium. I was having a session this week and my witch friend came through, and because I said, do you have any messages you want me to share at this talk? Yes. And you know, and she was, because I tell people magic and witchcraft for me, I mean, it's just natural laws. It's adhering to it's using natural laws to create the life you want. Now, yes, some people use it for dark purposes. I do not. But sometimes it's just infusing some cool energy into that soap or that this or that you make. And for me, it's all about setting intentions and living and creating your best life. And she reminded me that, you know, it's very emotional. And it's like having this deep relationship with the earth and this deep connection. And when we do that, it just brings us all together, because the elementals love this planet, the ones that are from here. Yeah. Other beings love this planet. And, you know, I keep saying, it's like, I was in England one time and saw this ad for this beautiful manor home out in the country. It's like, okay, write me a check. And it's like, it's got fields and gardens and it's huge. And we could have the grandkids and we could have our alien friends. Just, we could all sit here away from the street and have tea. And that's all I want to do. I want to just sit. And you
that's
know,
what I want to do too.
I know.
But if you find it, let me know.
I found it. I think somebody else probably bought it. But you
oh,
know,
I'm sure.
But it's like, I feel this affinity to want to get everybody together and just talk about what do you believe in? What do you, you know, it's like, just, I want to connect. I want to know about your life. And you're a beautiful cat. I want to know about your life. And, you know, you're a beautiful beetle. I want to know about your, it's like, I just want to talk to these beings. And
yeah. Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
And thank God and thank goodness we have these podcasts just to be able to talk about this stuff, which is, it's worth its weight in gold, to be honest.
It is. I mean, you're doing important work. And
yeah, so are you, for sure. You. Definitely. You. Yeah. I know the answer to this, but the audience might not. What are elementals?
Elementals is like the bucket term for the fairy realm. So energy spirits, energy beings, many of them are from this planet. Other species out in space have their own, and they'll come here with their, you know, and they translate for each other. So it could be fairies, sprites, gnomes, trolls, brownies. I've had them all on my property in California. So, you know, they all have different little, I think, different little jobs. You know, we had one that was in charge of the garden and one was in charge of the house. And if you treat them like family, they're going to treat you well. If you piss them off, they're going to trip you down the stairs, which they did, or they'll hide my keys, or they'll hide that piece of paper. And then when you ask really nicely, it's like, oh, look, there's the piece of paper. You know, it's just been pulled out from that pile of paper. Or, oh, there's my keys. Isn't that nice? But I was, one of the best things I was taught by the ex was, you know, on certain nights and especially on certain holidays, and he would send me lists like they want these kind of treats and these kind of treats. And I don't do it as often as he used to have me do it. It's like, but especially full moon and new moon, and I try to do it on the quarter moons, but you treat them with respect. And, you know, that's where a lot of my guidance, I'm sure, comes in. And, you know, they're magical creatures and they're beautiful.
So. Yeah, they are. They have a lot of fairies in Ireland, I think.
Yes, they do.
They had a guest on from Ireland, and she you said are? They have. Oh, well, I had a guest on from Ireland. I am Irish. I'm okay. Irish. Yeah, yeah. And so, but they have some. I don't know what they are. There's some fairy. I don't know what exactly. Let me just call them like fairy houses. That's not what they're called.
Oh, the fairy hills?
Something like that. But if you destroy them, I heard you could have bad luck or something.
Probably.
Like that's their home.
Probably.
Or you just leave them alone. Yeah.
Yeah. I would, because I think those are known for like, as being a way to like go into the fairy world and stuff.
Right. But, exactly.
Yeah. Those they're like little hills and stuff. But I actually, because my ex would build beautiful little fairy houses, so I had several around the house. But sometimes, okay, well, he'd go, well, okay, there's this one and this one live in this room, and this one live in this room. So he had names for all of them. I mean, he knew their names, and I had a little map, and I had to leave most of those there. I have a couple of them here now, but you know, I would put baskets out and create little beds in the baskets. And I would leave treats outside and treats in the house. And, you know, it just worked, because if you honor them and, you know, I would talk to them as a member of the family, and he had the ability to see them in their corporeal form, but they can, you know, it's easier for them to be in their energetic form. I could see their shadows, and I certainly knew they were there. I've never been able to hear their voice yet. I've seen them once. I was watering the plants one time, and all of a sudden a butterfly, you know, the water hit it, and it's like, oh, I got to fly away. It's like, okay, well, those are human legs on your little butterfly body. So I don't think you're a butterfly.
Oh my goodness.
And that was one of the closest times. And then another time I was working in my office late at night downstairs at my old house, and I had security cameras because I needed them, and they liked, you know, showing off in front of one that was by the living room door. And one night I was looking, I just had my app on so I could see what was on the camera. It's like, oh, look, okay, that's not a spider. And that is something that's trying to turn into its little human form.
Oh, wow. Was it outside or inside?
It was outside.
Right.
The living room door in front of the camera. And all of a sudden it knew I was looking. So it stopped. And I raced upstairs to see if I could see it. But it's like, you know, it changed back. But, you know, I could often like just see them flitting around the living room of that house was like on the backside of the house. So
yeah.
But it was fascinating. And my friend in England could see them regularly. And, you know, often you, especially if you take a picture, you're going to get there in their orb forms, those their energetic forms, and you can capture the orb on film. Yeah. But she could see them. She could see them. And often when I was in England, we'd go to different castles and things, and I've got one picture in my Midlife Magic book, and we were at Warwick Castle, and there's a kind of a dark hallway that overlooks the Great Hall. And so, you know, I'm doing the tour of the castle, and we're going down this hall. I go, oh, there's some little being, you know, I'm going down this hall. It's like, okay, I'm coming. And it was very evident to me after I, you know, developed the film that, oh, there's some orbs, there's some elementals, you know, following, you know, leading me through the hall. I have that picture in the book. It's not as quite as visible as I wanted it to be, that's who was in the hallway, but you know, I knew they were there. So it's like, you know, some of my elementals would go with me from California to England and party with the elementals there. And then they'd come home with me. And sometimes I'd bring some home. And, you know, it's a whole way of life, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. So, I know somebody that actually caught one on his Ring camera and showed it to me. I believe it.
It's amazing.
In the middle of the night, he caught it. Wow. Yeah. So
I've been at conferences when I would speak in England. A lot of the people there were very in tune with the orbs and the fairy energy. And so sometimes we just point our cameras and then you could see them after you could look at the picture. And it's like, oh, there's a whole bunch there. And, you know, one time I was heading up to give my talk and there was this one that like shot after me. It's like, and you can see like its tail, you know, like this stream of light, not an actual tail, but like a tail of light as it, oh, it's there she goes. I got to go with her.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I've had some fun experiences with that.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. They seem very friendly too. They don't seem dark.
Yeah, I mean, the ones I've had, and again, the ones at my old house, it's like they never hurt me. But sometimes when they wanted to prank me, I get pushed usually going up the stairs, or like I said, something would go missing. But you know, brownies and especially sprites are kind of mischievous. So they like to prank you.
What I haven't heard of brownies. What are those?
I know you're probably younger than I am. So there used to be an old like little, not a, I guess it's a fairy tale, but about the cobbler and the fairies, the brownies would come at night and help him like build his shoes. And
with
stuff.
The shoes. Yeah. I love
And then the wife would make little clothes for them. And so brownies are just one type of the fairy realm, but they like to be helpful.
Elves and the shoemaker. That's a great story.
Yeah, the elves
story.
And the shoemaker. Thank you. Yeah.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I just didn't know they were called brownies. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. And so, okay, kind of going into something else. It sounds like you do magic or you've studied magic or whatever. But some people wonder, well, doesn't magic refer to the dark arts? And I don't know if you have any say on that.
There are people who practice the craft that do go, some people do both light and dark. Some people really prefer the dark. I prefer the light stuff. So, and sometimes, you know, it's like a couple of people that I don't like, you know, I've often said, well, I wish I practiced that because I'd really like to have something happen to you. Now, I shouldn't say that at all. I shouldn't bring that energy in. But there's been a few times where it's like, but
right.
Again, I mean,
but you're only human, you know what I mean?
I know.
But you wouldn't hurt anybody, right?
No.
We know that. Just so the audience knows. Yeah.
No, I would not. But I know people, you know, sometimes you have to use the darker side of it, especially if you're having to protect yourself.
Of course.
You know, or, you know, that person is about to hurt you and like they're starting to attack you. And you need to like deal with them right now.
Of course.
They're a pile of goo now. So
for sure. Yeah. You have to protect your energy.
Yeah. And I don't know how to do that. I've learned how to use other tools to protect myself. Yeah. So, and I've had to do that. So, you know, to keep certain things or people away from me.
Of course. Yeah. So, we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like to use it for good things, but I know, you know, some people who practice the craft and even, you know, it's nothing. The dear, she's like my best friend now, this wonderful, powerful English witch that has passed. I never knew her when she was alive. But she was one of my ex's partners and she died in 1979, but we've become very good friends.
And, in the spirit world.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Very good friends. Especially because she had been his partner for years. And so she knew him really well. So, but she's also like my mentor for the craft. And, you know, she was very powerful. So I know sometimes she had to practice, you know, some of both. Mm-hmm. You know, one of her daughters might be more dark and one of them sticks to the white stuff. So, you know.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
No judgment. I just choose to be over here in the white stuff.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I get it. And how has your life changed from before?
So many ways. Like I said before, it's like when I met the last, it's like I opened my eyes to learn about new things. And so it's like, whoa, there's so much more out there. And then as far as like relationship goes, it's like, I've learned not to be a doormat. I've learned, I love self-care, you know, massages and body work and, you know, whatever, and little retreats and going to have high tea, you know, you need time for yourself. I've been in therapy. I've worked on myself. I've done the work and there's always work to do. But I also, you know, I'm very confident in who I am and I know what I want. And I'm very confident in saying that to people. I've learned that I have to set boundaries. I've also really tapped into, I do have an intuitive side and I do have an intuitive gift. Now, I don't do that for, you know, I'm not going to necessarily, you know, say, I've got a message for you. Hasn't happened but every now and then my daughter was like, you know, just the other day, she goes, Mom, can you, you know, get me an answer? You know, can you do your pendulum and get an answer for me on this? And I said, yeah, here you go. Sometimes my daughter will ask me, and she's very into crystals and getting messages that way.
Oh, nice. But
like I said, she's very supportive of my woo, this kind of stuff. And
that helps. That's good that she
does. She's not into the aliens, but she's into the woo. And so every now and then, well, can you, you know, find a spell for this? Or can you, you know, look up something for that? So yeah. So that's really cool. But it's more about like really, it's important to stand in your own power.
Definitely.
And speak up for yourself and speak your truth. You know, you don't have to hide who you are. If they don't like it, oh well. And if you have to leave a relationship because it's no longer working and because they don't see you or they mistreat you, it's like, then leave it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah,
it's like, if it's not going to serve you, it's like, you know, I still believe I have many years left, but you know, I'm on the, you know, again, I'm almost 70. So it's like,
wow, you don't look it. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I have a middle-aged daughter.
I would have never have known that.
Thank you.
I mean, even as a psychic, the energy of your daughter, I felt like she was younger, like she's, 17 to 21.
No, I have grandchildren that old.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
have good energy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it, you know, again, it's really and I don't say this from a Leo dramatic or a selfish point. It's like I'm finally able to be who I am.
Good.
And be happy with that. And if you don't like me, I don't care.
I'm at that point too. Just like with readings, some of the readings, is he coming back? Yes, he's coming back. But you know, those are really hard readings for me to do because it's difficult, you know, and it's like, they just keep asking over and over and over again. But it's like, if they don't like me because I'm wrong, oh, well, I've been doing this for 30 years. I have a pretty good track record of it, you know, and I have 13 years of education. So I certainly wouldn't be doing this if I didn't have a gift.
Exactly.
You know, I'd be in corporate America with a 401k and great benefits and stuff, not doing this. I mean, I'm not saying that this isn't worth it because I do run a good business and I'm a smart business person because I'm a Virgo rising. I have an MBA, but I'm just saying, I don't care what people think of me either.
Good.
You know, because they do talk about us online or me like, well, she's really good. I heard about you online. I heard you're really good. It's like, well, you know.
Well, and that's, you know, you've incorporated that because you have to be business savvy to make a living. And the reason why a lot of my clients are, what do I want to say? Not necessarily artists, but you know, they're consultants and they're, you know, more creative or they're therapists or they're not thinking numbers. And so it's like, you do what you do.
Exactly.
And I'll do your numbers. But, you know, because it's like, You got to have somebody doing that part of your business. They're not always thinking business, you know.
That's true.
Like, okay, well, you just do what you're good at and I'll handle this part.
Yeah, exactly. I get it. Yeah. So
it's good. And I don't have a 401k either. I do have a SEP IRA, but I didn't start saving till I was 60. So it's like, I'm behind the curve.
Yeah. So. But I'm just saying, like, it's a lot of work to do this, and you can do it and you can be successful at it, but it would have been easier if I just said, I'm just going to go work at this firm and not deal with any of this.
Right.
Not
or do it on this side.
Exactly. You know. So it's like, you know, it would have been a lot easier maybe just to do something else, but because, you know, I'm confident there's something here. This is why I'm doing this.
This feeds,
you
know what I mean?
Right. And then for you too, probably. Right. Of course.
It's interesting. Yes. And I know your igniting spirit question is going to come up, but it's interesting because I thought, what can I do? Because I want to retire. You know, one of the reasons why I'm no longer with number seven is like, there didn't seem to be any retirement for me in the future, even though he swears there would have been. I was like, yeah, okay. I can't believe you now.
Right.
But it's like, it's like, I can't be a bookkeeper till I'm 90 and drop dead at my computer. It's like, what can I do? And I'm learning that I really like writing. So, you know, like I said, I'm on book number two, and I know there's at least a book three out there because I've been told that. And I've had readings where people tell me, it's like, you're really coming into your creative self.
Leos are creative. I didn't mean to interrupt. I mean, Leos are creative. They have a lot of passion, creativity. Yeah. You're the Queen of Wands in the tarot, and they're very creative. And you know, who doesn't want to be the Queen of Wands? That's one of the best things.
And like I said, Queen I love high tea.
Yeah, and I'm the Queen of Cups. I'm like the romantic, creative, loving mommy.
You look that.
Right.
It's interesting because the podcast I'm doing now, some of them are about my paranormal UFO stuff, a lot of paranormal, and a lot of it is relationship stuff. And I want to help people, you know, number one, I want to help them not have the kind of relationships I had. And number two, I also want to help them learn about the alien stuff in a positive manner and about connection and stuff, because, you know, we're all here and we're all connected. And I'm sitting there having this mentoring session with the channeling medium the other day. And it's like, I had this epiphany of, it's like, it's all, for me, that work is becoming enmeshed and it's all connected. Yeah. And it's like, I can do both.
I can't
do both. And anyway, so it's like, that was very exciting. So,
Course.
So that's really igniting my spirit.
Oh, that's good. That. Yeah. That was one of the questions, like what ignites your spirit. So it sounds like you can just be your authentic self, right? And talk about the things you're interested in.
That, and you know, knowing that it's okay to tap, because we all have intuition. We just don't all tap into it. And and allowing myself to tap into that.
Yeah.
And, you know, get messages. And again, the messages are usually for me, and that's fine. Yeah. You know, every now and then, you know, my daughter will ask me something and it's like, well, okay, the pendulum's clearly saying no.
Oh, wow.
On that one. Yeah. You know, it's not moving at all, hardly at all. You know? And it's not even, it's just like to hardly moving. So that was really cool. And I love working with the spirits and, you know, hopefully it's like, I'm fine if I have to keep working with the medium. I would love to sit and, you know, hear that voice myself. The other things that it's like, I love setting intentions and I love that I know I can create the life I want. And I do a lot of gratitude and I do a lot of intention settings. And I live in a beautiful neighborhood where I can walk all over the place. So I'll get out. I definitely try to walk every day. And I'm not on my phone and I'm not listening to podcasts. I mean, I listen to them while I'm working.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not plugged into anything. So I can tune myself into what the flowers or the trees or
of
the
course.
Squirrels
you don't want to be tell distracted. Me. Yeah.
And I get a lot of inspiration just from being out doing my walks and paying attention.
So. Right. Well, I've said this a million times on my podcast. Some of my clients don't like to meditate. Every time I say meditate, they're like, I know to meditate. So, but when you're on your walk, it sounds like you're kind of meditating. You exactly. can do that when you're on a walk, as you're meditating, because you said you're unplugging. And you're connecting to nature. That's part of meditation.
Exactly. For me, I look at it that way. And I have been in like classes or whatever, and the group person, and it's usually a witchy type class.
Yeah.
So they're doing us, you know, in like a deep trance meditation. And it's like, mm-hmm. I love this, because I can, yeah, it's, you know, I don't practice. It's funny because I don't make a daily practice of like sitting here and getting still and meditating. I can do that. And so, you know, I can do that, but it's like, I love these deep things. Cause like, I'm going deep. I'm in that cave.
Yeah. I love like, that. Yeah. The trance. Meditation's great.
Yeah. And my friend in England, she goes, you're a natural at this. Like, I was there one time and she was just starting a series of her classes, working with people doing, it's like, I want to stay in England for a month and do this with you. Oh, I couldn't, I only went to one class, but yeah, she's an amazing teacher. And she's an amazing teacher.
That's so amazing. Does she teach at Arthur Findlay or just on her own?
No, just, I mean, she used to live in Kent. Now she lives in Norfolk. Yeah. But she would just do, maybe it was, you know, hosted by this person who, you know, did the, you know, got the signups and took the money. But, you know, she would teach in small groups at local things. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
They do a lot of that there. It seems like they're a little bit more advanced and over there from what I've with this kind of stuff that I've.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I feel. Like with the spiritual stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And especially, there's a spiritualist church, I think, over there.
Right.
So a lot of times.
Arthur Findlay, I think. That's the church. Because I've studied there. I've studied with people I've studied with people in England. They're very, it's a little bit different than here, it feels to me, the way they do things, I've noticed.
Yeah. And it's like, I have several witchy friends here in the States, and a lot of people I know practice some form of Wiccan. Uh-huh. I don't ascribe to any particular tradition. I'll take classes from these people, and you know, I feel very drawn to just the basic Celtic, British Celtic, and that's where, I don't know, I just feel drawn to, and those are my roots anyway, but I feel very drawn to that, you know, and I talk to the beautiful witch that's where she was from, and you know.
Yeah,
some of her writings, and it's just amazing. Oh. So I don't practice any particular tradition, but I like you know, I'll take classes from lots of different people. But it's you know,
it's nice.
Magic is magic.
It is, right. It's beautiful. And so I kind of just wanted to ask another question, because you sort of answered this, but why did you write your book? That was one of the questions, but you answered it. Yeah.
I wrote it, I think part of it was, it was part of my healing process to get over those six marriages. And then also to show that I wasn't afraid to talk about UFOs and paranormal, and that's part of my world, and talking to the deer that have now come into my yard and who stand there and let me talk to them. You know, and we'd have these little conversations, and it's like, woo, the energy. It's like, I mean, I've had, and one of the times, I think after I even moved, but it's like, I've had one conversation with this deer. I didn't hear what they were saying, but it's like, just the energy between us. It was like, you know, I just love the connection with the animals and the forest stuff and all that cool. So it was kind of to show that I have been able to change my life. I can get over the crappy stuff. And I can show my children, well, I only have one child, but I can show her and my grandchildren that these are cool things, that's possible to change your life. And that's and the second book is not done yet, but it's like, again, it's part of my healing process, and to share with people, well, what is, you know, what is narcissism and what does that look like? What did it look like for me and how did I get out of it? And how did I protect myself? So for me, it's not like I'm going to write a book and make $1 million, you know?
Right. Exactly. And, I get it.
But I think I have a valuable message to share with people. Yeah,
and for sure.
And if not, it was like, I did it for myself. And if I'm helping people, cool. And if you're learning a little bit about magic, cool. And if you're learning a little bit more about fairies, wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. I'm glad you did write your book. It's therapeutic.
It was very therapeutic. And I was thinking, okay, I have some in stock here at my house. Most people can get them on Amazon. So I was thinking, I should give that out as homework to anybody who thinks they want to date me.
Oh, interesting. That would be
cool. It's like that, you know, that's my weird sense of humor coming out. It's like, okay, if you really want to know me, I can explain all 7 marriages to you, or you could just read the book.
That's interesting. Oh, yeah. You should do that. Here, this is your homework. And if you like it, you can, and I have a quiz for you after you read it, right? If you score 80% or higher, we can go out. Right?
Yeah, really. It's like, you know, do you care that I've been married 7 times? Right. No? Okay, good. Then let's
attention.
Go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you care that I, you know, light candles and do this and that? No. Okay, good.
Right. We're exactly. Good. No, that's cool. And so you're writing a second book. And I don't know what if you could talk about that and when you anticipate it coming out. Tentatively or
yes, it's all about husband number 7. I've changed all the names.
Okay.
I am using my current name. I was going to use a pen name because I thought, oh, I don't want him to know. He already knows apparently. So it's like now I don't even care. And it's my daughter said, you know, it's more powerful if you just use your real name. It's like, okay. But it's going to be called like the prince was wrong or the prince was always wrong because he never thought he was ever wrong. And his nickname is the prince. So he'll know the book is about him.
Interesting.
But it's about, you know, the issues we had and the things he would say to me, especially as we were untangling when I was trying to stand up for myself. It's like a loving wife would do this and a loving wife should do this. And you should have tried to be prettier. And it's like, excuse me?
Yeah, right.
Because I was never a size 2, you know, and it's like all these, and like I said, you know, you started your business in my house and turned your back on me. It's like, oh, dude. So it's about that and the different kind of issues we had and the financial issues as I'm becoming older and just the relationship issues. It's like, yeah, it just stopped working. And here's the other thing. It's like, right as the pandemic shutdown was about to happen, I took a class on psychic development. And one of the last closing exercises was, you know, we're going to do this little ritual about cutting the energetic cord with something that's no longer serving you. And all I said was, the relationship as it is no longer serving me. I didn't say, well, I'm going to get a divorce. I mean, that's what happened because we just couldn't repair it. But it's like, I felt at that moment I needed to do something. And it turned out to be a very dramatic something, but that's okay. So the book, I'm about halfway done. I'm working with a book coach. So I'll do some, you know, I'm getting through the hard parts. I've kept a lot of his letters where it got pretty mean. And I'm using those because I, you know, it's like, I don't remember like exact, we didn't, a lot of the meanness came in the letters, not in personal conversations. So
interesting.
So I sometime next year it'll be done because it's half done and the book coach is helping me refine it as I'm going along, which is good. Okay. You know, then you need to edit it and then you need to have somebody lay it out and do a cover design and all that. But I've already got the website under my name, you know, so that's going to happen and I'm going to start collecting. I mean, people can use my email. But I'll have start collecting emails for, you know, I'm going to start doing the promotion stuff and I'm talking about it as we go along. And I one thing I learned from the first book is you have to start promoting it, talking about it way before it's published.
And so, I didn't mean to interrupt. How can people find out about you? Are you on social media or?
I'm on Facebook.
Yep.
Joanne Fawcett. And Joanne Fawcett also has a Joanne Fawcett, author page.
Okay.
I'm on LinkedIn. Excuse me.
Yeah. No,
I'm on Instagram. Okay. And you know, the one book is published under Dragon Hill Books. So that has a website.
Okay.
So they can find me in numerous ways and just Google me.
Okay. But, and what are you on Instagram? I'm just curious.
Joanne Fawcett author or Joanne Fawcett dot, you know, there's a lot of dots in there.
Okay. So, Yeah. And you're not related to Farrah Fawcett, are you?
No, unfortunately.
I know, right?
I would like to think I'm related to Fawcett Publishing.
Okay. I've never heard of them, but
they did a lot of paperbacks and stuff. And it's funny because
actually I have heard of them. Yeah, sorry.
It's a big name in the publishing world. But, okay. And my British roots may go back to that, but my uncle swears we're not related to them, but it's fine. But I do have a picture of a famous Fawcett who was a suffragette in England. And she's sitting in front of, you know, the Fawcett bookstore. And it's like, this is cool.
And for some of the people that are too young to remember, Farrah Fawcett was one of the original Charlie's Angels, a show by Aaron Spelling, Tori Spelling's father.
Yeah.
And she was a beautiful woman who died of cancer, gosh, maybe 10 years, 15 years ago or something.
I did watch that show.
Beautiful lady. Yeah. And she was a good actress. She was also in a movie called The Burning Bed about an abusive relationship.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I ever watched that, but I've never burned any of my husbands.
That was a,
I was going to say, that's probably hard to watch, right?
She was abused. She was physically abused. It was sort of hard to watch, but I enjoyed watching it because it was like eye-opening, you know what I mean?
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also have a photographic memory. So I do remember reading a book and seeing Fawcett Publishing, like after you said this. I'm like, okay, that is a publishing thing.
Yeah. And I don't know how big they are anymore.
Yeah.
And I think they did a lot of paperbacks over the
years. Yeah. Yeah. Some of the bigger ones are probably buying out like Avon Publishing and Fawcett, maybe. Who knows? Right. You know,
I don't. Yeah.
So where do we go from here? Like if someone wants to find out about your book, how do they contact you? Just like on the social media sites or
you could
email?
Do that. You could email me at Joanne. There's no E. Joanne, JOANN at midlifemagic.biz.
Right.
So that's a great email to start connecting with me. And then we can go from there. And I will keep people posted on the different, the book project and, you know, the other ones definitely available. And again, if you live or want to travel to Northern California, the Newark Fremont area, it's south of the Oakland airport, the weekend of October 27th and 28th. So Friday night and Saturday, I'm speaking Saturday afternoon about non-humans and magic and spirit.
Oh, wow.
It's called Mystical Minds Convention. Mm-hmm. So, and it's very reasonably priced, I'll tell you. It's a low price and lots, and it's UFO paranormal and witchy stuff.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if my friend, Indra Rinsler might be there. He's a psychic and a reader. He might be there. He lives up there and he was on the podcast.
Cool.
He does the Enneagram of Personality.
Oh,
so watch for him. His name's Indra Rinsler. Anybody else that's up there, he might be going there. I have a feeling because he does go to places to do. Are they doing readings there? I'm assuming
they might be. I think she's got, you know, she's open to vendor stuff. So I'll be selling my first, I'll be selling the Midlife Magic book there and then giving a talk. So,
okay. Can you autograph it? Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I can. Yes. Okay. I'm going to bring them in person.
Okay. And you'll be giving a talk. Sorry.
I'm going to be giving a talk Saturday afternoon. And I think they're having like a masquerade ball or a masquerade party Friday night, you know, cause it's the weekend before Halloween. Yeah. So it How should be fun. Lots of fun. Yeah. The woman that organizes it is from Denver. And so she's, this is like her, I don't know, third time doing it in California, and either, you know, relationship or weird journalist issues have always prevented me from speaking. She's always wanted me to speak, but, I thought, well, this is the year. I gotta do this. I don't care who might be harassing me. And I think that person's gone anyway. So it's like, you know, whatever. So I'm going, I'm going to speak, I'm going to have fun, and it's all good. So.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds great.
You should come.
Oh, I'd love to. I hope I can. I'm going to try.
That would be
great. Yeah, yeah. I like it up there. And I don't know if there's anything else you want to add before we go or...
I would just say to people, you know, embrace the magic, even if you're not like a witch, but, you know, just embrace the simple magic in your life and be grateful for what you have and just realize there's, you know, it's all about love and connection, and we're all connected, and just be open to that and know that you can create your best life no matter how old you are. And, you know, no matter what you need to change or tweak in your life, you can do it. So,
yeah, exactly. That's beautiful. And thank you so much for being on the show. I hope to have you back because you're writing a second book.
Yes.
So we'll have more to talk about.
Great. Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, right.
You're delightful. So
are you. You're such a nice person. Thank you so much. Enjoyed this.
Thank you for having me. Great.
Anytime.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Electric Spirit Podcast with your host, psychic medium Jamie Lynn. Find us on Instagram at Electric Spirit Podcast. Be sure to join us next time. Recharging your energy, recharging your magic, recharging your spirit. Until then, ciao.